Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they shall have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and I thank you for joining with us here on the broadcast today. Today we come to an exciting part of the Bible. Did you ever wonder why there are so many languages in the world? If you were to stand on a street corner of any Canadian city, it is staggering how many languages you will hear. People from all over the world come to live, work, and settle in this country. But the language barrier is a problem. Even in the classrooms of our schools, little children strive to learn English, and soon they do become bilingual, and that becomes their strong advantage over parents who often are unable to become fluent in English or French. The root of languages in the world takes us back to the Tower of Babel. This story, which we will tell today, explains how rebellious men needed to be stopped in their anti-God project of building a tower that would reach up to heaven. It would stand out as a monument of men's accomplishments without God. But God has a habit of canceling such works and showing his own power. He did that day when the people had to stop building due to confusion of tongues or languages. They just couldn't understand each other. And that will be our message today. But firstly, listen to this beautiful hymn. May it soothe your heart and stir your soul to cease from your works and look only unto Jesus. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, most gracious Lord. And surely we do.
Gospels. I hope that you are listening keenly and that you are ready for another story in the book of Genesis. And today we're going to talk about Nimrod, the bully, big, bad man who attempted to build the tallest ever tower that he might gather the whole world together. Now, what do you think would happen after Noah's flood? Did Noah and his children live new lives free from all sin? Well, we wish they did. But you must also remember that sin problem. You remember the black ink in the bottle of water that just a couple of drops polluted every particle of water in the bottle? Well, that black sin was still in the heart of Noah, his wife, and children. And sin was still in the world even after the flood. Even God had demonstrated his hatred of sin by destroying all the wicked, unbelieving people of that time. Now, that sin is in every person's heart today. Sin is even in the hearts of little babies that are newly born. Now, I know that they look so innocent when they're sleeping in their crib, but you must know that in the heart of the youngest baby, there is the potential to grow up and to resist God and even rebel against him. And so this man Nimrod was born, and he was a big bully. He wanted to control everyone. People wanted to be freedom to go and live in different areas, in different directions, to farm and set up their own communities. But big bad Nimrod, he said, No, we're going to come together and we're going to build a tower that will gather us into one religion. Now, remember how the first commandment says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And remember that God guards his own name with jealousy. And that means that God is furious with anger when anyone gives honor to anything or anyone else that belongs unto him, because we are to worship only the one living and true God. Now, the tower that Nimrod wanted to build was probably like a pyramid. And they used bricks and mortar, and they sought to build this large building high into the sky. It would have had endless stone steps ascending up into the sky. And on top of that tower, sin was committed, because there they worshipped a false god. Now, their worship was not right, for they followed their own imagination. They dreamed up whatever they themselves pleased, and they didn't even try to please God. And we're not to do that. Christians are to worship God according to the Bible, not according to our own imagination, but by what God instructs us to do in his own word. Remember that little chorus, the B-I-B-L-E? Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Well, Nimrod, he threw away the truth and he took all the honor to himself. Now, that is sinful pride. Never do that, for God greatly hates pride in our hearts. When all the people were busy building the Tower of Babel and preparing for their false worship, God, we are told, came down to see their evil works, and he was not at all happy. He was red hot furious, and God said, "I'm going to stop this. I'm going to put an end to this project of gathering all the people together into one false religion." Well, the people were working together, building the big, tall tower, and they all spoke the same words in the same language to give commandments and guidance in the building. So God decided to confuse their language. He caused them to speak many different languages. And the result was that when someone said, "Pass me that brick," that instead of receiving a brick, they got a little piece of wood or some other material. And they said, "I don't want that. Pass me a brick." And then someone would give up a bunch of straw. And it became so ridiculous and so frustrating. There was such confusion on that worksite that the whole project had to stop. And the people who were speaking different languages, they found each other who could talk to one another, and they ended up separating, going different directions, speaking different languages. And that's the basis for the different languages and people groups that we have in the world to this day. And that confusion of languages that God brought upon the Tower of Babel is still one of the greatest hurdles that we face in international communication. Now, that building of the Tower of Babel, it became known as Babel because you know that when a little child is speaking little babbling sounds, that's taken from the word Babel. It means confusion. You can't make out the sounds. And Babel means confusion of sounds or languages. Now, God's gift of languages is very powerful. Men talk to fellow men, and of course, God can talk to men. We also can talk to God to worship Him. And we are called to worship Him in spirit and truth. And we do that through words. And God has given us His Word in the Bible in set languages that we might commune or talk with God. Now, we have an English Bible that has been translated into our language, but in the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament was written in Greek, and it is right that Bibles are translated so that every different people group of the world can receive God's Word. Now, dogs and cats, cows and horses do not speak words nor learn how to read. They don't even have an alphabet, never mind trying to speak sentences and paragraphs and writing letters to one another. They can't do that. But man can. God has given us this wonderful gift of speech so that we can hear God speaking to us and that we can receive messages from God to our hearts. Did you know that the Lord Jesus is called the Word? If you look at John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the Lord Jesus. He is God's Word. He is God's revelation to us. And Jesus came down from heaven to be our teacher and our guide. He is the truth to lead us to the Father. Now, God the Father has said it Himself. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." And Christians want to hear the Lord's Word, and they want to obey His Word. For this is how we prove that we are His disciples. And so I trust that today, even as we conduct our church services, that you will have your Bible, that you will be eager to hear God's Word and understand it. And of course, it's my job as minister and preacher to open the Word, read it, and explain it. I am to cause you to understand that word. So I want you to listen very carefully. Hear God's word to your own heart. And of course, believers in the Lord Jesus say, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." True believers in the true God only worship in the name of the Lord Jesus, for he is God's only Son who will always lead us to the Father. You remember John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." That's why we always use Jesus' name in our praying, in our worship, and we want to hear his voice to our hearts. Now, Nimrod would not do that, but God sent confusion, and he scattered the people and the nations. And today he is gathering together people who want to hear his word and do his will. And he will save you on that basis. And you can be a Christian saved by faith in the word of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Lord and as your Savior.
The Bible speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. The disciples said to the Lord Jesus one day, "Increase our faith," a most interesting request. And we know not the secret feelings from which this request sprung. And I want to just share with you a few thoughts from Dr. J.C. Ryle. And he says, "Perhaps the hearts of the apostles failed within them as they heard one weighty lesson after another fall from our Lord's lips. Perhaps he thought, the thought rose up in their minds, who is sufficient for these things? Who can receive such high doctrine? Who can follow such a lofty standard of practice? These, however, are only conjectures. One thing, at any rate, is clear and plain. The request which they made was most deeply important. Increase our faith, they asked. Faith is the root of saving religion. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It is the hand by which the soul lays hold on Jesus Christ, and is united to him and saved. It is the secret of all Christian comfort and spiritual prosperity. According to a man's faith will he be his peace, his hope, his strength, his courage, his decision, and his victory over the world. When the apostles made request about faith, they did wisely and well. This is a good thing to pray for, and I just want to exhort you to pray for stronger faith in these troublous times, when many hearts are overwhelmed, whether it is a bombardment of news and information, conspiracy theories, or the deceptions of men. It is a time when every Christian needs to be strong in faith. And we have been told here that we must believe, we must have that faith if we would live and please our God. And so I ask you to consider your own need for stronger faith. And surely here is the key to the issues of life. Mr. Ryle goes on to say that faith is a grace which admits of degrees. It does not come to full strength and perfection as soon as it is planted in the heart by the Holy Ghost. There is little faith and great faith. There is weak faith and strong faith. Both are spoken of in the Scriptures. Both are to be seen in the experience of God's people. The more faith a Christian has, the more holy, the more happy, and the more useful he will be. To promote the growth and progress of faith should be the daily prayer and endeavor of all who love life. When the apostles said, increase our faith, they did well. And of course, whether today you feel that your faith is small or strong, this must continue to be your prayer, because faith can wither in a very short period of time. There are many things that would attack our faith, the devil's temptations, the day that Murphy's Law seems to rule, when everything that can go wrong does go wrong, and we need to just turn to the Lord and believe that he is in complete control. Join with me in prayer as we ask the Lord to lead us today. Father, we come today and ask that you will indeed for us strengthen our faith. O Lord, say not to us, O ye of little faith. Lord, we confess that our faith is so often weak and small, and so we come to thee for stronger faith, that we might be victorious over all the temptations and all the sins of this world that plague our hearts. Lord, you know the fear that many live with in these times, the loneliness, the sense that the world has gone all wrong and that nothing will ever return to be the same again. O Lord, thou art our rock, and we lift our hearts and minds unto thee and pray that thou wilt come unto us and give us the Holy Spirit to pour the oil of joy again into our souls, to create within us the joy of our salvation, and that we might be men and women full of faith and the Holy Ghost. O Lord, take away all doubts today. Make the way clear. Turn on the wipers of our vision of faith and clear the window, that we might behold the Lord in all his beauty. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and goodness. Hear our cry today. We ask in Jesus' name.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.